Starsports.bet provide the complete betting experience. Find us online via our website and app, on course, and at our flagship betting shop in London's Mayfair. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hello and a very warm welcome to this week's Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Dave Clark from the Racing Post, and on the line, golf guru from the Racing Post, Steve Palmer, as well as Glenn Day from our friends at Star Sports. Lots to get into. Very busy last week and this week. We'll kick off with last week. Steve Palmer, how's your form? How did last week fare?
Not bad. Joachim Lagergren tied for third at big prices in the Dunhill. So a full each way payout from Joachim Lagergren. Shane Lowry a bit slow out the blocks for the second week running. Finished strongly, finished 15th. So yeah, Lagergren rescued the situation a little bit, but very, very disappointed I didn't back either winner actually.
Okay, well, you mentioned the Dunhill links there, championship. Glenn, how was that result for Star Sports?
Yeah, very good. Obviously, 135-1 winner. Always going to help us out. Business was brisk. Good result. Placings were good as well.
And Steve, without sort of after timing a little bit, if we drill down, probably one that we could have found. We found, I've noticed that old McIlroy's old caddy was on the bag as well.
Absolutely. I mean, both of these were big price winners. Perez was 175-1. Champ was 125-1. You put the two together, you have a 22,000-1 double. I find the week almost inspiring that 22,000-1 shot was get that gettable. Victor Perez, as you say, JP Fitzgerald became his caddy after the Open Championship. I get on very well with JP. I had a lot of texting with him about Perez. And since he won the Dunhill on Sunday, it's all come out about him living in Scotland. I knew that information. I knew that he lived in Scotland. I've been kicking myself for not using it because he was making his Dunhill Links debut last week, but he lives 20 minutes down the road, plays a lot of practice rounds at Panmure, which is a Links track just north of St. Andrews. So, even though he didn't have that obvious Links form screaming at you, 15th place in the British Masters was the best Links effort he'd previously had. He obviously he spent 18 months living in Scotland. His girlfriend is a dental nurse, training to be a dental nurse in Dundee. So, there were grounds for backing Victor Perez. And then in the other one, Cameron Champ in the Safeway Open. I mean, there's no bigger Cameron Champ fan than myself. I've been saying for donkeys, from day one that he was a potential future world number one. I stand by those comments. Obviously, renewed optimism in Cameron Champ's career now. And there were signs that he was coming back to form. He was 21st in the Northern Trust, the first of the FedEx Cup playoff events. He was 28th in the Sanderson Farms the week before last. And he played okay in the Safeway last year. So, yeah, he's playing in his home state last week, California. So, used to the greens. I hate myself for not backing Cameron Champ. They were both gettable last week, Dave.
And Steve, I mean, a lot of the talk was, he stripped 1.369 down the fairway on the last, but his all-round game was impressive. I mean, you think he only found four fairways in his final round, so his all-round game had to be in good shape just to win.
Absolutely, Dave. Yeah, everyone talks about the power, and you're right, that 369-yard drive down the last when he needed a birdie to win, that was sensational. But it was his short game that kept him in at early doors on Sunday. His putting and chipping was magnificent. And I think he's got the short game to complement that power. And I think once he gets his pitches sorted, I mean, he's a bit like Dustin Johnson was. His pitching is the main weakness. But, Dustin Johnson spent endless hours on the range, turning that from a weakness to a strength. If Cameron Champ does that, he'll have no weakness. I mean, Cameron Champ deserves all the hype that comes his way. I mean, there were reasons for that little slump. He had injury problems, which appears now to be over. We didn't know about the problems with his grandfather, on his deathbed, essentially, which derailed him a little bit. I also read that he was trying to hit the ball higher. He was trying to change his swing to get a bit more height, working with Sean Foley on that, and they've abandoned that now, and they just said, just play natural, keep it low. He's got an amazing low penetrating ball flight. He doesn't need to change anything. Yeah, I think Cameron Champ's going far.
Indeed. And Glenn, a lot of Cameron Champ love on this postcard from Steve's quarters. Are you a big fan as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was on as well when he won the Sanderson Farms last year. He's a very impressive young man on the golf course, as Steve said there. There's not much more to add. We always knew he could hit the ball a long way. I always knew he was a good putter. Like I said, he's added short game skills to that as well. Now he's becoming the complete golfer, and if Steve thinks he can be a number one, I wouldn't disagree with him.
And Glenn, the future's bright for golf. We've got so many youngsters emerging now. It's just, he's another one, the likes of Morikawa as well. And we've seen them all coming through, starting to win. Is this wave now going to almost sort of take over?
Yeah, I've been thinking exactly that recently. It's almost like when you're looking at the selections, get rid of the old guard and it's all the new guard. There's so many youngsters, like 24 and younger. Joachim Niemann won the other week, 20 years old. The young Danish kid Hodgegaard comes second the other week. Yeah, there's just a wave on both sides of the pond, and yeah, it's all good for the game. All good for the game.
In 10 years' time, who do you think will be world number one?
That's a great question. I'm going to go because I just think he's quality, and I think he'll be around for a long time. I'm going to say Viktor Hovland.
Steve, it could be someone we've not even set eyes on yet. I appreciate that, but anyone out there you think's ready to just dominate?
Yeah, it's a great question that, Dave. I think if his back holds up, I think Cameron Champ could be the man, if not Hovland or Morikawa. Sorry to throw more than one name in there. Come, we're in the gambling business, aren't we? Yeah, I think he's nailed it. Viktor Hovland.
Hovland, yeah, big fan of Hovland. Right, who do we take from last week then, outside of the winners, Steve? Southgate probably could have got over the line, but for sort of coming home so poorly.
Yeah, it's a shame for Southgate. He's had a few near misses now. Lynx Terrain is his favourite. Hopefully he'll get over the line soon enough. But Viktor Perez, I mean, I've got so much time for him. He's got such a solid long game. He found over 90% of greens in regulation last week. I've been telling JP Fitzgerald since he took that job that Perez was a certainty for the Hong Kong Open. That was my long-term plan, to back Perez for the Hong Kong Open, but he probably won't be playing in that now because he'll access all the much bigger events. He'll probably be playing in the DP World Tour Championship the week before that. So, yeah, I don't know where to redirect my interest in Perez. I think maybe the French Open, you give him a chance in his National Open now, so might back him for that. But, in the Safeway Open, my eye catcher was Adam Hadwin. Yeah, he's made a really strong start to the season there. 10 under par for the weekend, topped the greens and regulation stats. So I think Hadwin will play extremely well again this week, actually.
Glenn, anyone catch the eye in either tournament?
Yeah, Tom Lewis had a good finish in the Dunhill Links. 15 under par for his final two rounds. I know it's a relatively easy course, but only one bogey and one double bogey all week. He's normally relatively cold with a putter, but he had a Korn Ferry Tour Championship win. Obviously a good finish here. I think he's going to play a few events on the PGA Tour. He's out there this week. He could be one who's also ready to win on the other side of the pond. And in the American event, the Safeway Open, the guy I put up, Lanto Griffin, I liked again. He just seems to be coming an all-round good golfer. Hit plenty of fairways last week when he needed to, which hadn't been a particular skill of his. And he's another one. Hits it a long way. And he's very, very good when he gets on the green. So I think he's getting ready to win.
Did he just miss out on a top 20 finish?
Tied 17th in the end.
Excellent. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, right, Steve. We are off to Viva Las Vegas on the PGA Tour this week. Tell us a little bit about the course first.
Yeah, TPC Summerlin. Tiger Woods' first victory came there at TPC Summerlin. To give Tiger Woods a mention, just had his latest knee surgery, so hopefully be back in business soon. 7,255 yards, par 71. This tournament used to be played over three different tracks, but from 2008 onwards, all four rounds have been at Summerlin. It's easy. Three straightforward par fives, one drivable par four, and nothing but hot sunshine and calm skies awaiting the players this week. So we're going to get a birdie fest.
Birdie Fest, right. I'll give it the official title, the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open. Glenn, can we have a rating and a show from Star Sports, please?
Yeah, gets a rating of 7 again this week. 50 odds the first 7 on this one. 8-1, Brooks Koepka. 12-1, Patrick Cantlay. 16, Bryson DeChambeau. 20, Adam Scott. 22, Matsuyama, Tony Finau and Webb Simpson. 28, Colin Morikawa and Joachim Niemann, and 30-1, Gary Woodland.
And your first 7, that's not the norm, Glenn, is that correct?
Yeah, no, we're trying to be a bit more aggressive. Very competitive event, obviously plenty of the world's top players here. Plenty of depth to this competition as well. So, yeah, we're happy to give punters a chance.
Okay, right. Steve Palmer, you have the floor. Who's the main selection for this tournament this week, please?
Main selection is Aaron Wise, the 2018 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. He won his first title in that superb first season, a three-shot romp in the AT&T Byron Nelson. And then last season, although slightly disappointing given that barnstorming start to tour life, he played well in the majors. His form figures in the majors were 17, 41, 35 and 41. He spent some time on major leaderboards. So, it wasn't an entirely a write-off season. I fancy this term he will get back to winning tournaments. He's blessed with enormous talent, Aaron Wise. And he shook the rust out of his system in the Sanderson Farms, finished 39th in the Sanderson Farms. So he's got a spin under his belt already this season. And crucially, he lives in Las Vegas. This is a home gig for Aaron Wise. He knows Summerlin extremely well. He's played in three Shriners Opens previously, and his finishes were 10th, 32nd, and 15th. I made Aaron Wise one of the most likely contenders this week, and yet he opened up at 80-1, which I thought was a mouth-watering price.
Glenn, what price is Aaron Wise with Star Sports before we get your main selection this week?
Well, that's a good question. Just for 1 second, Aaron Wise, we have... Oh,
that's a good sign. If you're scrolling down, that's a good sign.
75-1.
Steve's pick with Star Sports. And who's your main selection this week, Glenn?
I'm duplicating last week, so I'm going to go with Lanto Griffith again, as I alluded to there. Played really well at the weekend. I'm going to repeat some of what I said last week, but he had a go on the tour two seasons ago, limited success. Went back to the Corn Ferry last season, had a really good season, gained a second victory. Posted four other top tens. I say looks a better player, much more comfortable on the tour. Three tournaments they've played so far. So he's tied 13th, tied 11th, and tied 17th. And he's the only player so far with three top 20 finishes. That makes eight top 20s in his last 11 events. Regularly ranked in the top 10 for driving, distance, and putting, which I said is the strongest part of his game. And as I said, hit plenty of fairways last week, ranking second in driving accuracy. So it suggests that all parts of his game are getting there. Currently ranked 15th in strokes gained total. And if he has another good week in the flat stick, which he's been doing plenty of time recently, definitely in for another good finish this weekend.
And what price is he with Star Sports? A big price, I'm sure.
He is 90-1.
90-1. Excellent. Right, Steve, who else are we having on side this week?
Next best is Colin Morikawa. Likewise, he is a Las Vegas resident. Neither of them were born in Vegas, but they've both decided to make Las Vegas their home city. This is a Shriners debut for Morikawa, but obviously he knows Summerlin well from living there. He's a former world number one amateur who made a seamless transition to the pro ranks. Won his maiden PGA Tour title in July in the Barracuda. Finished 10th in the Safeway last week. You know, didn't seem to slip out of second gear. He'd had a little bit of time off. And I think victory number two is possible for Morikawa this week. I'm not, I had him as my number one last week. Did okay, and I'm certainly not going to lose faith in him anytime soon.
Go on, who else we got in the squad? We'll keep going.
We've got five against the field in the Shriners.
Yep.
Joachim Niemann, super talented 20-year-old Chilean. Won his maiden PGA Tour title by six shots last month. I don't think he's getting enough credit for that. I mean, in the last 95 years, Seve Ballesteros and Rory McIlroy are the only other non-Americans to win on the PGA Tour before their 21st birthday. So what Niemann's done is pretty incredible. I think he go from strength to strength now. He was world number one amateur for 44 weeks. I mean, Joachim Niemann always destined to become a superstar. He's now making merry as a pro, and he finished 10th in the Shriners last year on his debut, much more confident now. The final two, the aforementioned Adam Hadwin, who topped the greens and regulation stats last week, runner-up to Cameron Champ. Hadwin closed with three birdies on Sunday. He won't have left California beating himself up. Yeah, that was a good effort to topple Champ. And he loves desert golf. He fired a 59 at La Quinta in the Californian desert in 2017, finished runner-up in the Career Builder Challenge. His form figures in that event are 2-3-2. His Shriners record is okay. His close-season practice base is TPC Scottsdale in Arizona. So he adores desert golf. He'll love the setup this week. I think Hadwin will be in the mix for the second week running. And then the final one at much, much bigger prices, Peter Uhlein, opened at 150-1. Massive price about a player who held a share of the lead in this event going into the final round last year. He dropped away. Bryson DeChambeau took control, but this course suits Peter Uihlein. He's had a couple of decent warm-ups already this season. He was 36th in the Greenbrier, 23rd in the Sanderson Farms. So I think he'll contend in Vegas again. I mean, this is a former world number one amateur, Peter Uihlein. He was destined for greatness. He's won on the European Tour. He's won on the Web.com Tour. I think he's definitely good enough to win on the PGA Tour. I mean, Peter Uihlein used to be best mates with Brooks Koepka, who's also in the field this week. Yeah, that they played together on the Challenge Tour. And in those days, Uihlein was always considered the better player of the two.
I was just about to say, Steve, that he's a player that I've backed countless number of times at big prices and just missed cut, blown up. But for those out there that don't know, he was the emerging star, the next big thing, wasn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. He was best mates with Koepka, and Koepka used to revere Peter Uihlein as well. My mate, who's slightly better than me, used to be a better putter than Koepka. And their careers were obviously taking different paths, but Uihlein's still only 30. He's still only 30, and I think he's still got time to fill his mantelpiece full of PGA Tour silverware.
He's a big, big price. Just quickly, before we move on to the rest of Glenn's selections, you've used the term there a couple of times, desert golf. What's different about desert golf?
Usually a little bit more room in the desert, a little bit more room. Tree-lined golf, not that many trees, and a bit more freedom to play, and sweltering temperatures. I mean, this week it's going to be 32 degrees as a low, really. It's going to be really, really hot this week. And I love the fact that Adam Hadwin has got a particularly good bit of desert form. Just similar sort of tracks, Dave. And I can see Hadwin building on last week.
Be a bit more aggressive off the tee as well, because it's wide open.
Absolutely. And Hadwin was top of the GIR stats last week. He was up against, almost like, Cameron Champ was just in a different world, wasn't he? Obviously inspired by, winning for his granddad. And, to come so close to toppling Champ and all the fans, because everyone wanted Champ to win. I thought Hadwin did a fantastic job last week and could get his reward this week.
Okay, we'll move on to Glenn Day's squad from Star Sports. Just quickly, Glenn, Steve's first two that he's mentioned there, Aaron Wise and Colin Murakami, both based in Las Vegas. As a layer, when you're compiling your book, is that a factor? Do you look at where players live, what the local track is, that obviously have local knowledge? Is that factored in for you?
Yeah, I don't take too much from it. It can help. Certainly not going to be a hindrance, but I don't think it makes a massive difference, and certainly not on tracks like this one, personally.
Okay, well, they can enjoy home comforts anyway. Right, we've got Lanto Griffin in the book. Who else?
Yeah, I've got five more, Dave, so I'll keep them very short. Second one, Denny McCarthy, 2018 Korn Ferry Tour Championship winner. Another who's a very good putter, which I think will be a key asset this week. Regularly ranks very highly in that category. Currently seventh in strokes game putting. Finished in the top 40, seven of his last nine events, 31st and 18th in his last two. Ninth in driving accuracy and fifth in greens in regulation last week. And another where all parts of his game are coming together. Played here last year, finished tied 15th in his first season on tour. So much more comfortable now. And I think he's ready, definitely, to start performing much better and put yourself on the leaderboards. Third in is Dylan Fratelli, a guy Steve mentioned last week, someone to watch. Two-time European Tour winner, gained his first PGA Tour win last season in John Deere Classic, which was his only top 10 of the season, surprisingly enough. But he's already bettered that this season, finishing tied sixth at the Sanderson Farms and tied seventh at the Safeway Open. He's an accomplished all-round player and is now very comfortable on the PGA Tour and currently ranks second strokes gained tee to green, second strokes gained approaching the green, and fifth in strokes gained total. And another good week beckons for the South African. Next one, Roger Sloan, Web.com Tour winner 5 years ago. I've noticed him regularly up the leaderboard and he's been in the top 20, lots of top 20 finishes since June. Best performances, tied 10th in the John Deere Classic, tied 7th in the Barracuda, and last week tied 13th in the Safeway Open. Twice recently ranked in the top 10 in putting. Missed cut here last year, not a deterrent, as plenty of players have won here, having done that the previous season. And another guy who I'll admit I know virtually nothing about, but I've also seen him on a couple of leaderboards recently, a guy called Harry Higgs. Played a little bit on the Latino America Tour between 2015 and 18. And in 2018, he gained the first win and posted six other top four finishes. Last season, played on the Cool Ferry Tour and gained the first win there in the Price Cutter Charity Championship and posted four other top tens. 23rd last week in the Safeway Open, ranking 8th in driving accuracy and 9th in putting. And there's five recent top tens in putting and six top tens in scrambling. So appears to have a very good short game. The available 200-1, I thought it was worth sticking up in the current climate with all these youngsters. And the last one, a winner on tour last season, JT Poston, continues in fine form, won at the Wimbledon Championship where he ranked number one overall, second in driving accuracy, first in greens and regulation, first in scrambling, and he became the first player in over 40 years to win a PGA Tour event without dropping a single shot. Two FedEx tournaments after that before coming back in the Sanderson Farms after a month off for a tied 11th finish, straight back on it. Last two events ranked 7th and 9th in driving accuracy, 10th and 8th in putting, and currently ranks 5th in strokes gained tee to green, 4th strokes gained around the green, and 6th stroke gained total. Played here the last 3 years, and his best finish is 4th in 2017, so can act around here. And so he's playing very well at the moment, and he could be due a second win.
Marvellous.
That's my squad.
Marvellous. Very thorough. Marvellous, as ever, very thorough. Just quickly, before we move on to the Spanish Open, is there anyone at the top of the betting, Glenn, that you're looking to get after here? We've got Kupka, Cantlay, DeChambeau, all vying for favouritism. Is there anyone in particular that Star Sports are going to be top price about and taking a stance against?
I just think this case is about certainly the top five in the betting. You could be against them. Steve has not gone for any of them. I haven't myself. They're all, you know, high official world golf rankings, but I think there's question marks against all of them for various reasons. So we're happy to be near the front of the market on all of them.
Steve, do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, Brooks Koepka, I prefer him on tougher tracks. I mean, his putter can go very cold, as we saw at the Open Championship. So he could get left behind in a shootout in perfect weather. He's missed two cuts in the Shriners. He's played four times and missed two cuts, finished fourth and second in the other one. Cantlay, first and second the last 2 years. So clearly likes the setup, but he was rubbish in the Tour Championship, 40th last week in a home state event. So he's not begging to be backed. And then Bryson DeChambeau, defending champion, but he arrived in much better heart last year. He was in tremendous form, winning trophies for fun. This time, yeah, this slow play cloud is still hanging over him. And he folded, you know, tamely from the front. He was leading at the halfway last week.
He 76. A short price in running as well, but he just fizzled out.
Yes, 76 on Saturday, 76-70, finished 13th. So, yeah, I don't think any of the top three are worth backing. And just make one further point about the home advantage. Not just the course knowledge that Aaron Wise and Colin Morikawa have. I mean, Victor Perez mentioned last week that you know, sleeping in his own bed is a big factor for him, allowed him to recharge between rounds. So I think, you know, just having that relaxation time at home in between rounds can be very useful.
Yeah, I do like that. I like that a lot. Right, let's move on then to the Spanish Open. But first, a quick break.
On the move, follow all the latest starsports.bet golf prices hole by hole on our website and betting app. Just search for Star Sports Bet on the App Store or Google Play. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this week's Racing Post Golf Postcast. We move on now to the Spanish Open, and Steve Palmer, the Racing Post Golf Guru, is on the line. Tell us about the track here then, Steve.
Yeah, Club de Campo, Villa de Madrid, 7,112 yards, par 71, three par fives, Ivor Jina fired a round of 60 at this course in 2005 Madrid Open. Rafael Jacquelin was 23 under par that year. So, yeah, very easy course. I mean, it's tree-lined, undulating with small greens, but it's clearly extremely scorable because of the previous history on the course. Everyone seems to go birdie crazy. And sunny, calm weather forecast. Yeah, in both events this week, the weather forecasts are just perfect. Yeah, just unbroken sunshine, no wind at all in either event. So, both of them this week are massive birdie fests.
Marvellous. And one attribute here that stands out, anything else, Steve? What would it be?
Well, it'll be a hot putter because, in these low-scoring events, anyone that's not carrying a warm flat stick will be left behind. So, I think the winning score could be 20 under par, around the 20 under par mark.
Okay, Glenn Day from Star Sports on the line. Give us a rating first, Glenn, and then a betting show, I'm sure, dominated by the Spaniards.
Indeed, yes. A very lowly 3 for this one, Dave. quarter, the first 5 only on this one, I'm afraid. 3-1, John Rahm. 5-1, Sergio Garcia. 11-1, Rafael Cabrera-Bello. 16, Andrea Pavan and Hao Tong Lee. 28, Adri Arnaus. 40, Ross Fisher. 45, Callum Shinquin and Pablo Larrazabal. And 50 and upwards, the others.
Now, 3, Glenn, because a field lacking in depth, is that why?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the front two are quality. There's a couple of guys just below them. Pavan, we've mentioned quite a lot on this podcast in the last few weeks. But he's generally a 50, 66 to 1 poker, and he finds himself fourth in at 16. So, as much as I like him, it suggests there's not a lot of quality in there. But once you get to the 66 to 1 and above, you know, you're really struggling. So, yeah, I think the front will dominate.
Okay, Steve, right. Rahm, Garcia, Bayo taking a lump out of the market here. Are you with any of those guys as your main pick this week, or are we looking for a bit of value elsewhere?
I've got 4 selections. You've not mentioned any of them.
Brilliant.
One at a reasonably short price, and then 3 outsiders.
Fire away with the best bet, then.
So the best bet is Hao Tong Lee, who I've got an enormous amount of faith in. He's only just turned 24. He's still improving. He's a 2-time European Tour champion. Both of his victories came in really low-scoring events, which I'm pretty sure this week's will be. He's one of the best putters in the world, so he's capable of shooting the lights out. And he carded a third-round 64 in the Dunhill last week, which signaled a return to form. He finished 23rd in that, 11 under par for the weekend at St Andrews. So it looks to me like Lee has rediscovered his A-game in time to upset those 3 Spaniards who dominate the market.
Okay, right. Well, Glenn, we'll go to you for your main pick as well, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Sergio Garcia. I say lacking in depth, it's pretty much a toss-up between the two. But I think a 6-1, he's almost a bet to nothing. He has played the course 3 times in the past, fairly irrelevant. 49th in the Spanish Open in 96. 25th in the Tour of Spain Masters in 2000, did finish 6th in the Madrid Open in 2003. But he has plenty of Spanish form to go on, and he absolutely loves playing on home soil. I said I wouldn't read this out, and I just analysed it. I've got to. It's so impressive. Since 2000, Garcia's form in Spain is 16-1-7, 19-6-7-1. 2-2-2-2-2, 16-34, 1-4, 17-4-9, 2 missed cuts, 10-1-1-5-12, 38-22, 3-1-1-7. 32 events, 7 wins, 5 seconds, 22 top 10. He absolutely loves playing on home soil. Mid-season dipping form this year, missed cut, 52nd missed cut. Rocked up in the Andalusia Masters on home soil again, finished 7th, just to prove the point. One last time out at the KL Open, where he ranked number 1 overall to gain his 16th European Tour success. At the last 2 weeks off, missed Wentworth, which he usually does, and the Dunhill Links. So arrives here fresh and in form, and expect another great week for Sergio in Spain.
Where does he live, Glenn? Does he live in Spain, do you know?
I'd imagine he's got a place in Spain, but I think he's in America. I don't know for certain. I'm looking that bit up. He just loves putting his feet on the Spanish soil.
Right, there you go. It's all them home comforts. See, there we go. Right, Steve, who's next in for you?
Next best is Nacho Elvira. He duelled with John Rahm in this event last season, eventually yielding with when he found water at the 17th hole on the Sunday. But so he's still awaiting his European Tour breakthrough, but he clearly loves performing in his Spanish homeland. He won a Challenge Tour event by 4 shots in Madrid in 2015. So he's a Madrid man through and through. He's playing in his home city this week, and he's won 4 times on the Challenge Tour. So I haven't really got any doubts about his winning ability. And he's just been really unlucky on the European Tour. He's a 3-time runner-up. I think Nacho Elvira has the potential to go 1 better than last year.
Okay, and who else? How many have we got this week for the European Tour?
I've got, I got four against the field. Actually, Elvira ended up finishing third after that double bogey. But yeah, I think Elvira's going to be in the mix again. Then I got two more massive prices. Alvaro Quiros. I know he's one of your favourites, Dave.
Oh, Alvaro, yeah, he's Quiros. A monster off the tee.
He's a beast. And you probably have noticed he's made four cuts in a row for the first time in more than 4 years.
I mean, the comeback's on.
The comeback's on. He'd never before made the cut in the Dunhill Links. He had a terrible record in the Dunhill Links, but he made the cut last week. And that's four cuts in a row, which, you know, for a player like him, you know, he's brilliant, but he's erratic, isn't he? But he seems to be finding a little bit of consistency now. And on his last visit back to Spain, he finished in a tie for second place in the Andalusia Masters at Valderrama, and, you know, an amazing performance on a course that doesn't suit him. And that is one of three top threes that he's posted on the European Tour this year, Quiros. So Quiros is coming back to his best. He deserves some respect. He's a seven-time European Tour champion. He's had a few injury problems, but, you know, the signs are positive for Quiros. And he's won the Spanish Open before. 2010, he won the Spanish Open in Seville. So, Hao Tong Li, my main bet. Nacho Elvira, next best. Alvaro Quiros at a big price. And then an even bigger price, my final selection is Christopher Wrighton. A Norwegian. I mean, Victor Hovland, we're talking about Victor Hovland as a future world number one. He's been getting all the attention, but Wrighton is another promising Norwegian. He's very good mates with Hovland. He competed well with Hovland coming up through the ranks. Beat him on a few occasions, and then Wrighton got his European Tour card at Q School at the end of last year. And Q School finals are played in Spain. And Wrighton's not played in hardly any events. Yeah, he's really, you know, new to professional golf. But he's quickly built a good little record in Spanish events. He had a couple of top threes in the Medita Masters in the Nordic Golf League. He finished 23rd in that Andalusia Masters that Quiros finished second in June. So Wrighton, yeah, he's very inconsistent. He's only 21, but he's full of talent. And I think, you know, that record in Spain and got me over the line with him. I think he's worth taking a chance on, because this course is easy. Everyone's going to be making birdies, and Wrighton's a very attacking player. I think it could all come good for him this week.
Steve, what do you predict the winning score to be this week?
Yeah, I think it'd be around the 20 under mark. I mean, Rafael Jacquelin hit 23 under par in 2005. Ivor Jina, one of my favourite players, Ivor Jina. Yeah, that was an 11 under par 60 that he fired there. You know, really opened himself up. So I've got designs on a 20 under par winning score, and I like attacking players with a hot flat stick. Yeah, the four players I've selected are real swashbuckling types who can come unstuck on, you know, when there's a bit of wind about and conditions are tricky. But these four, very aggressive, can attack from the get go and get to that total. You're not going to get to that total just, you know, plodding around this week.
Okay, well, I love them too at big prices. And A very low score, Steve. McIlroy will be livid, won't he? Did you see his words there?
yeah, this is not good timing. I'm hoping Keith Pelly and the European Tour officials don't react by, you know, growing the rough suddenly and putting some artificial rough in or something. But this is not a good week for that. I mean, Rory was wide of the mark there. I mean, there's a pro-am last week. It's always low score, and they've got to set it up easy for the amateurs who pay a fortune to be in it. So, I thought it was strange comments. I mean, he obviously wasn't very happy that he didn't win the pairs event with his dad, did he? They narrowly beaten on a technicality there. So I think Rory was just sounding off because he wasn't very happy about life. But I disagree with him. I disagree with those comments he made quite wholeheartedly, actually.
Okay, yeah, I think that cut deep, that loss with McIlroy, particularly how they ended up losing. Just quickly, Glenn, can we get a price from Quiros and Wrighton from Star Sports? Two huge prices, I'm sure.
Yeah, we've got 125-1 Quiros and 175-1 Wrighton. I think you've mentioned it before, Steve, didn't you, Wrighton? I seem to remember early in the season. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. I think he's got potential. I mean, he's only 21, massive hitter, really, really powerful. And obviously in the embryonic stages of his career, but what I've seen is in his amateur days. And yeah, he's just curiously good record in Spain. So worth taking a chance on. 200-1s out there.
Lovely. Right, that's Steve's four. Who else do you like, Glenn?
No, I'm just going with the one Garcia. So I don't think there's a lot of depth. Yeah, Steve's found a couple of stoomers, if you like, down the bottom there. But I'm just going each way, Garcia. Bet to nothing. 10% interest on your money at least.
What a statement. Steve, let's talk John Rahm then, who is the defending champion, I think, albeit a different track last year. Very, very short this week.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're a greyhound man, Dave. He's going off like a greyhound price, isn't he? In a 156 runner greyhound race, would you be backing someone at 3-1? I mean, you wouldn't, would you?
I wouldn't. No.
I just saw the prices for it and I thought, blimey, I love John Rahm, but I'm not backing a 3-1 shot, an 156 runner affair. You know, particularly as he missed the cut by 5 shots last week. I mean, it was Dunhill Link's debut, playing with his dad. He was all very excited about it, and it was it was a damp squib, wasn't it? So, and he hasn't got a good record of bouncing back after missed cuts. Rahm price mainly put me off. Garcia, I can see the each way bet to nothing angle there. And Glenn is right, his record in Spain is fantastic, but I always worry about Garcia's putter, and, you know, on a low scoring event like this one, I wonder whether he'll hold enough putts. But I could find reasons to get away from the front three. I mean, Rafa Cabrera Bello's the other one we haven't mentioned, again unsuited to a birdie fest because his short game is vulnerable. You know, his chipping's not great, his putting is inconsistent. So yeah, I went through the front three and then got to Hao Tong Liu, who's I think Hao Tong Liu's got, you know, much more to come. I don't think we've seen the best from Hao Tong Li. I mean, I think he's a seriously, you know, he's a world-class player in my eyes. Finished third in the Open in 2017. I think there's more to come from Hao Tong, and I think this is a great opportunity to use that flat stick class to out-birdie the Spaniards at the top of the bend.
Okay, so Steve thinking Rahm very short. What price is Rahm with Star Sports, Glenn?
3-1.
3-1 across the board. Can punters maybe get a bit of 100-30 with Star Sports if you're going to take him on?
I'd love to. I'd love to bet a lad. We went 7-2 early doors. We saw a bit of money. Went 3, but
oh really? Yeah. You just take the 7-2 was taken, yeah?
Yeah, 7-2 was taken straight as, yeah. So we had to follow suit with all the others.
Okay, well, I'll forgive you for not sticking your neck out in that case then, Glenn. Right, let's recap then, gentlemen. PGA Tour, Shriners Opens for Shriners Hospitals for Children Open. Steve, main pick is?
Main pick is Aaron Wise.
And just a quick line on why he's going to win that.
Aaron Wise, Las Vegas native with a great record in the tournament. And he's got the rust out of his system in the Sands and Farms and is ready to show why he was the 2018 Rook of the Year. He's got huge potential. Had a lackluster last season, was a bit lackluster. He'll get back on the bike this year.
And Glenn, leading your squad in that tournament is?
Yeah, Lento Griffin again.
And a quick line on why you think he's going to
second go on the main tour. Seemed to have adapted very quickly. 3 top 20 finishes, hits it a good way, and very good on the dance floors. And he's definitely looking like he can win.
Okay, and Steve with Hao Tong Li, Glenn with Sergio Garcia in the Spanish Open. And gentlemen, if you are to just have one bet this week, Steve, who would it be?
I like each way doubles. I like the Hao Tong Li, Aaron Wise each way double. We should have had the Cameron Chan, Victor Perez each way double last week. We didn't. This is the next ship that sailed into port.
Lovely. And Glenn, one bet this week for you. What would it be?
Yeah, the Garcia Griffin each way double for me.
Excellent. Right. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time and expertise as ever. We'll be back next week, another Golf Podcast. Look forward to the Houston Open and the Italian Open, so a nice continental feel once again next week. Thank you for watching and thanks for listening.
Give them a haul!
Long-term golf markets for 2020 available now on starsports.bet, including the Open, the Masters and the Ryder Cup from Wisconsin. 18 years and older only, begambleaware.org.